Welcome to the Gut Health Dialogues with Alyssa. Hi, I'm Alyssa, a registered dietitian, integrative and functional nutrition therapist, and real food enthusiast. In this podcast, I'm thrilled to share with you the tried and tested secrets to living a symptom-free life, whether you're living with IBS, SIBO, or any other stomach issue. If you're sick and tired of hearing from doctors that there is nothing wrong with you, but still feeling worse and ready to take control of your gut health, this podcast is for you. And guess what? Today's episode is extra special. We're diving into the real experiences of individuals who've embarked on this journey to reclaim their gut health. We're introducing our incredible client testimonials. These are the real stories of triumph, transformation, and the unwavering spirit to take control of their gut health. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and get ready to be inspired. Our clients are not just sharing testimonials, they're sharing the keys to locking a life of vitality and balance. Without further ado, let's kick off another empowering episode of the Gut Health Dialogues. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story. It's been a journey, right? I think we started talking in July.
Yes.
So can you share with us, you know, what was going on with your health before we started talking?
Yeah, so my journey started back, I would say, around 2014. I mean, I had my first baby 2013, and after having him into 2014, I had my gallbladder removed. And that's really when all of this kind of started. And he's now 10 years old. So I've kind of been dealing with this for quite some time. It was, you know, you have IBS. Well, first it was the gallbladder. Let's remove the gallbladder. They did that. I had a lot of issues after that. Then it was like, you have IBS. So let's try to treat that. But, you know, nothing they did was helping. And I became desperate, pretty much. I mean, the amount of running to the bathroom and the urgency and the anxiety, anxiety to eat, anxiety if I was going out and eating, it was just not a way to live.
So wait, so you had issues and they removed your gallbladder and you probably thought that would fix it, right?
I did. Yeah, I did.
And did that help?
No, it made everything worse. I mean, the pain was no longer there, but the aftermath of having that gallbladder removed and constant diarrhea, I mean, I'm just going to be out there, you know, honest, pretty much got really bad. I was using the bathroom, you know, especially in the mornings, four times at least. And then when I'd be out and eating something, you know, here we go again. And it was all about, well, you can't digest things like how you used to. Here's some medicine to help it. But it just never seemed to get to the point where I could just eat freely and not worry, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the things you had tried already? Because when we first chatted, you had already tried quite a few things.
Yeah, I'd seen, of course, like my primary care, I'd seen gastro, they had done, you know, endoscopy, colonoscopy, just to try to figure out what was going on. They had put me on like a bile binder cholestyramine. And I had seen a naturopathic doctor. I had been on a low FODMAP. I'd been on an anti-candida diet. So I had done a lot to try to help this.
Yeah. And you were on the cholestyramine, and at that time it didn't help that much, or
no, just it enough? Didn't. It okay. Didn't help. And so then I stopped it, and I just figured, you know, I guess this is how I'm going to live.
And then what, you know, what were some of the specific things that you felt stuck with or felt that you really needed help with?
I just felt like no matter what I was doing, nothing was helping. And I was kept getting thrown like this medication and that medication, and try this medication, try peppermint, try, and peppermint does help, but you know, it was just like it never got to the point where we were honing in on like what is the root of this? And we can't just keep throwing medications and more medications to try to fix it. So I think that's where I was like, you know, I've seen a naturopathic doctor that's supposed to be more helpful. And just like, then I was really like, wow, what am I going to do? Because I don't know who else to see about this, you know?
Yeah, and I think a friend of yours referred you to me, so it was just kind of a word of a mouth thing.
It was. That's exactly what happened. She referred me and I was like, well, let me give it a try. It was kind of like my last hope. And I was like, if this doesn't work, then I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, and that was cool, because she was another client of mine. And so when we started working together, can you just kind of talk through some of the things we did?
When we started working together, I remember you taking like a full history. We sat down. First appointment was all just like history, like background, all my symptoms. And then from there, because I had already had labs and stuff, and I remember I had sent you those, and I had had some testing already, I believe, which was helpful for you. But then we kind of honed in on like, I think you may have brought up, like, I think these symptoms might be SIBO, right? But we didn't know which one. We didn't know which one it was. So that's when we did some testing. And of course, in the meantime, while I'm waiting to test, I think you got me on some good probiotics and just some things that could kind of help. But we really needed to like hone in on what type it was.
I have my notes up here, and I do remember that you were, when we first spoke, you were already on the low FODMAP diet, which obviously, well, it's not obvious to everyone. It is to you and I at this point. It's kind of the go-to diet for people with IBS and SIBO, and it helps up to 80% of people feel better. And I don't know if it was helping you that much. It seemed to help a little bit, right?
Yeah, it did seem to help a little bit. I think what kind of helped even more was like just incorporating the more like more vegetables and stuff in my diet. I remember kind of going not like full on vegan, but just like remember I had to slow down on the protein intake. I remember that.
Yeah, so this is so you shared with me that you really like to work out, you like fewer carbs and more protein. That's your preferred style of eating. But it yeah, we just kept running into the protein seemed to be making your GI symptoms worse. And one of the reasons I'm so excited that you're sharing your story with everybody is that we did the SIBO test, and it looked like a complete flat line, which to an untrained eye, I mean, that looks like a negative test, because a typical SIBO presentation is going to have at least one peak, usually a couple of peaks in kind of the line graph. But a flat line presentation, to the extent that we saw, indicates hydrogen sulfide SIBO, which is a very often overlooked type of SIBO. It's kind of the third subtype. So typically we have hydrogen, methane, and then hydrogen sulfide. But a lot of the SIBO tests out there only test hydrogen and methane levels. So we're only going to know it's hydrogen sulfide if you know that the hydrogen sulfide producing organisms eat up the other gas to produce the hydrogen sulfide. So it's almost like you're kind of seeing a false negative there. So anyway, that was super enlightening because, well, protein foods, meat has lots of sulfur in it. Some of the high FODMAP foods also have sulfur. And for you, we ended up having to focus in more on a low sulfur diet and move away from a low FODMAP diet.
I remember that. And I'm so like glad that Your eye is trained to see these things, because when you told me I had SIBO, I actually went to my primary and I said, "Do you guys test for SIBO?" And she goes, "Oh no, if you think that you have that, we just put you on antibiotics, and if it clears up, that's how you had it." But it's like there's so many different like you're explaining, like there's a couple different strains of SIBO, and the way it's treated, I believe, is different too, correct?
Absolutely, completely different. Because, well, completely different herbs that we had to use, like a different supplement protocol that are totally different to kill the hydrogen sulfide producing organisms. And then also the diet's different. So if we had just continued with the low FODMAP, you still would have had, now you would be avoiding certain high sulfur foods like onion and garlic and certain cruciferous vegetables because there is some crossover, but you still would have been eating, you still were eating too much sulfur when you were on the low FODMAP diet, and it was including more protein than you could tolerate at the time. So we had to, it was really hard, right? You had to cut your protein intake back a lot
Yes.
for a while, which was like killing you, not
Yes,
physically, but
I called
emotionally.
you hangry. You're so patient because I called you hangry.
Yeah, so we had to balance out your diet to make that work temporarily. And I kept telling you, don't worry, it's just temporary.
Yeah,
But
definitely.
you're never like you never know for sure till you see those results, right? So it's not a fun period of time when you first have to do that. But it was I think one thing that makes it easier. So I always tell people, it's always hard to follow a restricted diet or have to eliminate foods that you love. But when you see that really clear cause and effect, so when you stop eating certain foods and you feel so much better than you eat them and they trigger symptoms, it's so much easier once you have that clear cut result to actually stick with it. And then I would say, especially when you know there's an end in sight, you can do anything for a temporary period of time. But my whole thing with my clients is the restrictive diet is only one step of the process. And our long-term goal should not be to use that as our end-all be-all. We want to get your gut fixed so you can go back to eating most foods. And would you say, tell us where you're at now after we've been through the process? We cleared the SIBO, right? What
I
else?
am living pretty. I mean, I have in reintroduced like all the veggies, and it hasn't been an issue for me. And I've had less anxiety. I'm eating more confidently, more comfortable, not, thinking about like if I'm gonna drive and eat, where's a bathroom? Like, I'm just being honest here. That's how it was, And what's really interesting is, so now that I had cleared the SIBO, I was still kind of having, just a little bit like residual. And what we found out was it was might have been the bile, right? That I'm still. So what I went and did was we talked about it, and I went and got back on the cholestyramine, because that's often a common thing, or fiber, that people use to help with that have had their gallbladders removed. But this time it actually worked, like it's working. And so I'm able to just have regular bowel movements, not rush to the bathroom, not have this urgency, not have diarrhea, and just feel way more comfortable eating.
Yes, that really was the final kind of kicker. And it's so interesting too, because a lot of people who have digestive issues will try different supplements, like digestive supplements, maybe enzymes. Some of them have ox bile in them. And I think we might have started one of those with you, but we stopped it as soon as we found out you had hydrogen sulfide SIBO. And I think that it's pretty safe to say that the whole issue you've had with your gallbladder being removed, and whether or not this was an issue before, I don't know, but the issue with the bile for you is a big part of what predisposed you to get SIBO, because the sulfate-reducing bacteria that overgrow with hydrogen sulfide SIBO love a bile-rich environment. So when your digestive tract is not, when you don't have a gallbladder, so you're not able to really control how that bile is released from the liver into the intestine, that can predispose you. So that cholestyramine is helping to bind the bile and help your body use it more effectively, which will help prevent that SIBO from coming back.
Definitely. Yeah, it's been so nice to just eat without, worry.
And you mentioned the anxiety. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that was like? Because I remember that was really huge for you, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, I just got so I well, I had always been so anxious about eating. Like, I'm a person that's really on the go, and that's another thing I've had to slow down, when I'm eating and, really chew my food and take time to do some deep breathing before I start eating. And it was just constant living in, like, if I eat this while I'm driving, where's the closest bathroom? Or if I'm even going out to eat with friends, where's a bathroom so I know that I could go if I had to go. And so that, like, has completely stopped because, I used to get like really bad cramping, and then I'd know, like, okay, I'm gonna have to use the restroom. I'm just gonna be honest for anyone that's experiencing any of this. And that's subsided. I can go and, like, if I do have to eat while I'm driving because I'm a busy mom, like, I haven't had to do that in a few months now. And some days are not perfect because of something that I may have eat that triggered me, but for the most part, it's pretty darn close to just having, like, I feel like a normal digestive system.
That's awesome. That's so
Yeah.
awesome. I know. It's so exciting to be at that place. I think we all know that if we eat certain things, we're not going to get away with it. So I think
Yep.
we do have to, we can get so focused on, okay, what food made me feel sick? What food made me feel sick? That once we get to this point where you're at, we do have to take a really good look and say, are we well, how much of this is normal? Because a little bit of that can be normal, right? As long as it's not severe or distracting. And if it's all, and if you can pinpoint the food and you know that that food kind of consistently causes an issue.
Right.
And what about anxiety? Does anxiety still trigger you, or did that calm down once you started to feel like you had more control?
No, that's calmed down because what I was feeling anxious was like, what's going to happen if I eat this certain food? And that's calmed down a lot. Just because I've been successful in most foods. I mean, even like I personally stay away from dairy and gluten and all of that, but even when I have eaten some dairy, like, it's been okay. It hasn't been a disaster.
That's good, good, awesome. I know. So, a little discomfort is tolerable. A disaster is not.
Right.
So before we started working together, did you have any hesitations about, working with the dietitian?
Not at all. I mean, really, this was like my last, like I had to just do it. Like, if it didn't work, then I kind of knew, like, I tried all avenues. So, and especially though, because my friend had also used you and worked with you and had such great success, like, I felt really confident about it. It was just helpful.
Yeah.
So.
And what do you think, based on what we did versus some of the other practitioners you've worked with or other approaches you've tried, what was different this time?
I don't feel like other practitioners, I mean, the naturopathic doctor I worked with was pretty good. I don't think I just got far with her, but I felt like with other doctors, I wasn't looked at like as a whole. It was just like focused on the one thing, and the testing wasn't accurate. They don't test like that. They don't look at SIBO the same way. I mean, look just how like my primary care doctor said, "Oh, well, I'll just put you on some antibiotics, and if it clears, then you know it." Like they just look at it totally different.
Right.
So I feel like that was the most different, using herbs, using natural things to heal your body, is like the best thing that you can do. And so I feel like I'm very grateful that I was able to take that, that avenue.
That's so awesome. And what do you think were the most valuable skills you learned that maybe could help other people who are listening to this?
I think learning, about SIBO, because I had no idea about it. I had no idea that that's probably what I've had for a long time. Learning the signs and symptoms, learning the triggers, how to, really provide like a healthy microbiome for your gut, the foods that you should be having in your diet, just even how to make them taste better. You have really good suggestions.
Oh,
There was
thank
just so much insight. Yeah, you do. I hate vegetables.
you.
Yeah, just the insight
Yeah.
and the skill that you have. It was just a lot that I gained from. I printed out every, consult. I printed out your instructions, and I still have them, just in case.
Awesome. Are you eating more vegetables now?
I am. Yes, I am. I just bought like some microgreens, and I bought some micro radishes, and I been incorporating those in my salads and trying to just, have veggies every serving.
How are you making them taste good for you?
To be honest with you, sauce sauces.
Sausage.
The microgreens, actually, I put them in my sandwiches, and they taste so good in my sandwich. So I sneak in veggies too. You recommended to make like in your pasta sauces. So I did that, and my kids even were like, "Mom, this is the best pasta sauce ever." And it had blended bell peppers in it and spinach in it that I just, kind of cooked a little bit and then blended it up in the sauce, and we just ate it like that. So it's not like
Oh,
I'm
I
like,
love that.
like chewing on a bunch of veggies,
Right. Yep. You got to strategically hide those veggies sometimes and then don't say anything.
Exactly.
What's
Exactly.
in there? Oh, well, thank you so much for doing this and sharing your story. I just think it's so helpful for people to hear because we have conversations, you and I, and I just can't help thinking how many people, I wish could like hear you share some of these things because I know there are people out there. It's like it's already true with SIBO that lots of people are suffering and they're getting having a just similar experience to you with your doctor with saying, okay, well, let's try a 2 week course of antibiotics. That's already a problem with SIBO, but then especially with hydrogen sulfide SIBO, because the lab result is going to flag that as a negative. And you just have to know how to read the test and how would you know that? So it's I'm so glad we figured it out and that you're doing so much better. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Anything to help anyone else out, thank you so much for all of your, insight and your knowledge, and I'm very, very grateful.
Awesome.